So I'd like to start this morning with Romans, from Romans chapter 12. And verses 3 to 8. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So we see in that passage, one of the things that's mentioned there is about the gifts that we have, the gifts we've been given to use. And I just wonder what the word gift means to you. When I say gift, okay, so we're in church, so of course, you know, we're thinking spiritual gifts, because that's what we're supposed to think about in church. But just think a little bit more generally, a little bit more practically. What does the word gift mean? We're in December now. You know, it's Christmas time. We're just reminded constantly about our need to buy something for people, to give gifts. Now, there are some people like my wife, who just love giving people stuff, who love blessing people. And the whole idea of gifts fills them with excitement. And then there's some of us others, particularly fellas, who the idea of the word gift just freaks us out. And us married men, we've only got to buy one gift at Christmas time. But still, we can struggle with that. You know, getting that one right. The only advice I can give is, fellas, though, buy your presents with a gift wrap. I encourage you to do that. It makes things a whole lot easier. So the word gift probably conjures up different feelings, different emotions, different ideas for different people. Now, there's a few meanings of the word gift in the dictionary. One of them is, you know, something which is given. So the idea of a present, which we've just been talking about, which we talk about a lot at this time of year, something which is given. Well, there's also another meaning, which is a special aptitude, an ability or power, a talent. And the idea of spiritual gifts contains elements of both. But spiritual gifts, while it contains elements, and while those two things are contained in the idea of spiritual gifts, it's more than that. It's more than just those things. And so I just wanted to talk this morning from these few verses in Romans 12. Because we could ask about, well, spiritual gifts. We've been given spiritual gifts. Well, what now? And probably many of us have been in a situation where we've been given a gift. Well, maybe I won't assume. How many of us have been in the situation where you've been given a gift and you think, what do I do with that now? You know, if the person is there who's handed it to you physically, you know, you're supposed to smile and be polite and gracious, aren't you? In the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, if they're not in the church, I can bring it to the garage sale in September. Things like that. Sometimes we just don't understand what it is. You know, sometimes we get something, you think, what do I do with that? But then when it's explained to us, it makes sense. And so this idea of spiritual gifts, we have gifts. We have gifts from God. But sometimes we can struggle with this idea, what now? What do I do with it now? What does it mean for me now? And so I just want to talk a little bit about that this morning. I want to just talk from the point of view that we all have gifts from God. And we do actually have a responsibility to use those. Now, this morning, I'm not going to spend so much time trying to help us to work out what gift we've got. I know that is part of the responsibility of the church, is to help people discover and to use their gifts. But I just thought, well, I'll just sow the seed this morning and I'll leave it for Jeremy and Trevor to sort out how you sort find your gifts and that sort of thing. Or maybe the whole leadership team, which I guess brings it back to me a bit too then. So the point of the message is not to, so that you'll go from here necessarily knowing exactly what it is that your calling is and what you're supposed to do today, tomorrow, this week, the rest of your life. But there are some general principles here that if we apply them, and if we apply them to our life, if we start using them, start moving in them, we will find that we will start to use what God has given us. And we will find that we will start to understand what it is that God has given us and how we can do that. And so it's only a start, but then again, we've only got one message this morning to do that. So if we get started, that'll be great. So from this passage here in Romans chapter 12, we see several things, or I see several things that we can draw out of it that apply to us. And the thing is, first thing I see there, that all are given a gift. That is, all believers are given a gift. All believers have received a gift. And we've actually received several gifts from God. See, all who believe receive the gift of salvation. In Ephesians 2 verse 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Our salvation is a gift. And Romans 5 talks about the gift which God gives and compares it to the sin that came into the world through Adam. The sin was man's working. The gift of God, salvation is a gift of God. It's unearned. It comes completely from Him. And we see in conjunction with that other gifts, but which are tied in with the gift of salvation. We have the gift of righteousness in Romans 5:17. In Romans 6 verse 23, it says the gift of God is eternal life. And so we have these gifts, the gift of salvation and other gifts that come with that, which are given freely to us. These are given simply from the Father's love for us. They're not something that is earned. He's given it freely from His love, and it's for us, for our good, for our benefit. Because when we give a gift to somebody, normally there's not usually supposed to be conditions attached with that. I give it to you. Hopefully, if I've thought about it, I've thought it found something that is beneficial, that is useful, that is a blessing to you in some way, and you can use it for your benefit. And that's what God does. He gives us salvation. The thing that we needed the most comes as a free gift. It can't be earned. It's a gift from God, out of His pleasure, out of His love for our benefit. And the only criteria with these gifts, the only criteria with the gift of salvation, with the gift of eternal life, is that we would receive them, that we believe. To all who believe, He gives the right to become sons of God. All who received Him. Everyone who believes on Him. And so we know that if you believe, if you receive those gifts, you have a gift. Everybody here has received something from God. You can't sit here and say, well, God gives something to everyone else, but I miss out. We all have received from God. We've also received the gift of the Holy Spirit, or we're able to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter says, if you believe on Him and be baptized, then you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, or you will receive. So God gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, help us to live the life which He's made for us, to do the things which He tells us to do. And again, it's not earned. It's not, if you can do this well enough, then I'll give you the Holy Spirit to help you along. We're given the gift of the Holy Spirit completely unearned. The only criteria, again, is that we believe, that we receive him, that we allow him to help us. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Unearned to those who will receive for our benefit. But then what we see here in Romans 12 goes beyond just those gifts, the gift of salvation. But it talks about gifts, talks about gifts that we have as children of God. Now that we're believers, then he actually, we have what we call the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. But these gifts, really, in a sense, they're like ministries. Each one of us has a gift or has gifts, has spiritual gifts which are given to us by God. But this is the difference between what we would normally think of with gifts, and the difference between especially the gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of salvation is given for my benefit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is given for my benefit. But the spiritual gift that I have is not actually given to me, it's given to the church. And it's actually a ministry which has been placed within me, which I am to give to the church. It's my responsibility. I'm the delivery person, if you like. That I take what God has given to me and I give it to the church. I make sure the church receives this gift. It's given to me for the good of the church, for the benefit of the church. It's given by God's pleasure, but it's not given just for me to enjoy so I can bask in the glory of, I've got a gift. It's not for me to make myself important. It's for me to use to benefit the church. And we see this in the story of the lion, the witch and the wardrobe, where Peter and Susan and Lucy receive gifts. They receive them from Santa Claus, but that's all right. But they receive gifts after they've been to the beavers. They're on the way to the meeting place. And Santa comes and he gives Peter a sword, and Susan receives the bow and the arrows. And Lucy receives the bottle of cordial, which is able to bring healing. And they are gifts which are given to the children, but they are not for them, for their benefit alone. They are for the children to use for the benefit of the people in Narnia. And it's the same with the spiritual gifts that God places within us. They are given to us, but they are given to us to use for the benefit of the church, the benefit of his body. They are given to us to use in the ministry of his kingdom. And they are given to us by grace. We can't earn the gifts we've been given in any way. You can't think, well, if I do this well and if I'm a good person, then I can maybe get a better gift. I can get a more important gift, a more prominent. It's God who gives them. You know, they are gifts in this sense that they are unearned. We don't earn them. We can't earn them. It's God's choosing. Now, God's not like Santa Claus, though, because if you notice with Santa that he is really rather very discriminating, that the rich kids get a lot more toys than the poor kids. Now, God gives some people a lot of gifts and he gives some people a few gifts. Now, that's up to him how he does that, but it's not whether you're rich or poor. But the important thing is that each one of us has received something from God. We have a ministry, we have a responsibility which we're able to give, which we're able to use for the benefit of the church. So we are stewards. We have the responsibility of ministering, of bringing this gift to the church. This gift is a special endowment, special empowerment, if you like, a special we could use the word talent, that we have been trusted with. As it says in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so that's what we are. We're stewards, given something which we are to give out. And so everybody, it's not just some people, but everybody has received something from God which is able to be used for the benefit of the church, for the benefit of all. And the thing is there that it talks about is each one of us has been given a measure of faith. But we've been given the necessary faith and we've been given the necessary grace to fulfill the ministry that he has given us. So whatever it is that God has trusted us with, he's given us the faith and he gives us the grace, the empowerment that we need to see that fulfilled, to see that outworked. So we don't have to be overwhelmed. Think, well, I can't do that. Who am I? Because our sufficiency is not of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. And if we trust in him, then what he gives us, we're able to work out. And so, if you can only take one thing this morning, you have been given a gift. You are an important part of the body. You are valued. God hasn't left you out. God hasn't missed you. You may not have discovered what it is yet that God wants you to do, but you haven't missed out. Every one of us is important enough for God to remember us, for God to give us a gift which we have responsibility for. And so the second thing we see is we're all part of the body. We're all part of the body of Christ. As we read in verses 4 and 5, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. The body of Christ is the local church, but it's also the church universal. The universal church is the body of Christ. But every local church is the manifestation. Every local church serves as the body of Christ in that area where it's planted. And we are all part of that. We're all part of the universal body of Christ. We belong to Jesus. So wherever we are, whatever country, whatever continent we're in, we're just as much part of the body as everyone else. But we are also part of the local body, the place, the church that God is, local church that God has planted us in. And it's important for us to understand we are part of the body. It reminds us of our dependence upon one another. It reminds us that we can't do it all by ourselves. That we don't have the facilities to do everything. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul takes some time to talk about, you know, all the parts of the body and how they're all got important roles to play. And if we were to try to live without parts of the body, you know, the body doesn't function in the way that it's supposed to. And it's often the parts that we don't see that are the most important. It reminds us we are dependent on each other. But it also, with that dependency comes the reminder that when we're having difficult times, there's support available. You know, just as when we've got a body part that's sore, that's aching, that's got problems, the rest of the body compensates. You know, we don't try and walk on a sore leg. The other leg takes more. We do all we can to take the weight off that, don't we? And so there's support available because we're part of the body. But then there's also that reminder that we all have a role to play. We're important, but it's also important for the sake of the body that we do what we have been called to do. We do what we have been made to do. And our role, whether it's small or large, it is important. And so we have a responsibility for that, and we have a responsibility to develop that gift. And that includes discovering the gift. But we develop the gift through exercising it. The idea of the body reminds us that we're not all the same. We don't have to be all the same. For those of you who are thinking you had to be like me and were worried that you couldn't do it, it's okay. You don't have to be like me, because if everyone was like me, we'd be rather limited, rather narrow in what we're able to achieve. We're not all the same. Nobody has all the answers. But the important thing is to understand that God has uniquely gifted us. We have an important role in the body. Each of us is an important part of the body. God chooses to work through each one of us. That's his choice. And if we choose not to use our gifts, we don't stop being an integral part of the body. But we do cease to be useful to our fullest potential. In other words, we're still highly valued, but we're not functioning as we were created. And so we're missing out. And the church is missing out. I mean, none of us is so important that we just think we can halt the whole move of God, though. And I want you to think that. But we can think about, if we're not doing what we're called to do, if we're not doing what we're created to do, then we're taking something from the local church, we're taking something from the whole church. And it's poorer, actually, without our involvement. If you're thinking, what can I bring? The church is actually poorer if you don't bring your gift, if you don't use that. So we're part of the body for our benefit and for the benefit of each other. And we see then that the reason that we're given these gifts are for the benefit of the body. They're given to edify or to build up the body. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16, says, and he himself, that's Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. So we see the gifts, and I think mentioning the gifts, there's four places that in the Bible that gifts are specifically mentioned. And no one of those places has all the gifts. Which means that where the gifts are listed, it's an idea of what's available. It's an idea of what God does. But the ones that are listed in each place are there for a particular reason. Now we see in Ephesians chapter 4 that there's particular gifts that are given to the body for a particular reason, a particular purpose. But as we see, as we go through the whole of Scripture, we see that all the gifts, whatever they are, whether they're the prominent ones of apostle and prophet and evangelist and pastor and teacher, whether they're the more hidden ones, they're all given for that same reason. And there's two reasons that are listed here. The first one is to equip people, to equip the saints, to equip us, to equip believers for the work of the ministry, to equip us to minister. And the second one is to build up, to edify the body. And so our gifts, as I said, are not for our benefit, but for the benefit of all. And as we bring our gifts, as we learn to use them, then what we do is we equip people to be able to perform their ministries. And we build up the body of Christ. And we see that the results in the unity of believers, and results in growth in the unity and growth in the church. We see that God is glorified, and we see that God is revealed to unbelievers. And that's the purpose with which God gives the gifts. He wants to grow believers. He wants to grow the church. And so we see that the gifts, whatever gifts we've been given, are to equip believers and to build us up. In other words, enabling them to love and obey God, to serve the church, and to preach the gospel. It's to equip the church for outreach and to serve in outreach. Equip and edify individually and corporately. So we bring our gifts. Now, the reasons for coming together, for meeting together as a church, you think, well, why is it we're supposed to do that anyway? Well, we see we come together to worship God because there's a sense that where God's Holy Spirit is present only when believers come together. You know, we're called and we can have wonderful times of intimacy with God on our own, but there's also a sense where we're supposed to join together in our worship. And there's a sense where God's present, where people gather together, that he's not, where we're just on our own. And so we come to worship God, but we come also to be built up, to be encouraged, so that we can be equipped to outwork in our own lives what God calls us to. In other words, the obedience, the living the Christian life. But then also we're equipped so that we can do our ministry. And then as a result of that, then also the church is involved in outreach, in taking the gospel to other people, because one of the problems we can get into when we think about the gifts, and they're meant to edify the church, they're meant to build up the church, is we can have a narrow idea then that the gifts are only meant to function within a church setting. But we actually equip the church and we build it up and we encourage it, not only when we're encouraging each other when we meet together, but when we're using our gifts to serve and when we're using our gifts to take the message of the gospel to people who don't belong in the church, who are not part of the church, who haven't heard yet, who haven't believed yet. And so we're called to do these things as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." And it says the manifestation in 1 Corinthians 12, it's talking about gifts which are, we call gifts, but really are more manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Manifestations of his presence, manifestations of his power. Things which any one of us can move in at any time. But we know that there are people who move, depending on their ministry, who move more often in them than others. But whatever the manifestation, or whether it's a gift that we hold that remains with us, it's always given for the same reason, for the benefit of others, for the benefit of all. And we've been told in chapter 14, let the edification of the church be our motivation. And so we see that we all have a gift. We're placed in the body and our gift is for the benefit of the whole body. But the gifts are to be used with attitude. And when we say attitude these days, and just say the word attitude, it usually means something, a bad sort of attitude. But there are attitudes that we are to use when we are to have when we bring the gifts. And it's actually, if we can understand this, then that will help us to begin to move in what God has called us to. As I already mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 4, where it says, whatever gift we're to minister to each other. The word minister means to serve. Our attitude needs to be edify the body and to edify other believers. You know, Jesus sets the example. We read in Philippians chapter 2 where he took on the form of a servant. He became a servant in every way for our benefit, so that we could be saved from sin. And in John 13, you know, he takes on the role of the lowest servant when he washes the disciples' feet. You know, that certainly doesn't seem in any way to be part of his calling, part of his gifting. But he does what's necessary. And he comes and he lives as a man because he does what's necessary for us, what we need. And so he sets the example for us. It's about the need. It's not. And when we think about how we can be used in the church. It's not about me, but it's about the need. And it's not about whether my gift necessarily is growing and whether I'm, you know, being built up in my gift, but it's about the need. And that's what we see in the example of Jesus. If we have a gift to meet the need, then we need to use that. But it's more important that we do what it takes. And so we see that we need to have this attitude of serving whatever is necessary for the body, whatever is necessary for the building up of others. In Acts chapter 6, where there's a need for someone to actually administer the distribution of food to make sure that all the widows and orphans were taken care of, they appoint 7 deacons. There's 5 of them we don't hear from again, but 2 of them, one of them is Philip the evangelist. It's the same Philip who goes to Samaria and preaches the gospel to that whole area. He becomes known as Philip the evangelist. Well, here he is, he's just called to just wait on tables to make sure that everybody's taken care of. But that's what was needed, and it was an opportunity. It was an opportunity to serve, and he's given that responsibility. And who knows how much of his other ministry grew out of that opportunity to serve. Another one, of course, we hear about is Stephen, who became the first martyr. But it says that in choosing the deacons, the first one mentioned says, Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And we'll think, well, why would you take a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit and make him responsible just for looking after, making sure people are fed? Wouldn't you give him something bigger to do? But he was exactly the kind of person that was needed, full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, and God was able to use him in that. And it goes on after that, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. So we should never think that what we're doing or what the opportunity is to do is below us, beneath us. It may be just the exact thing that God has called us to do. It may be the exact opportunity. And we see that many times through history that actually other ministries have grown out of serving a senior ministry. That just the being with that person regularly, you know, that they're actually there serving them, but they're learning and they're also picking up something of the Spirit that's upon that, something of the anointing. And there's many examples of people who just started out, they were serving somewhere, and then had the opportunity to speak, and out of that grew a great ministry. You know, I think of John Knox, who's one of the fathers of the Reformation, and the founder of the Presbyterian Church, actually served George Wishart and up until his death. And who knows what he may have picked up from doing that. So we're called to serve. You know, many people want to start at the top. But what Jesus said is that he who is faithful in least is faithful also in much. So we just take this attitude that whatever needs doing, I'm going to do it. If I've got gifts for that, fine. But it's more about making sure the need is met. Now, I know that as we grow in our understanding of our gifting, that we need to choose carefully because we don't have time to do everything. And we need to make choices about what we can be involved in. But that attitude has to be of serving. What's for the benefit of the body? What's the benefit of everybody? And who knows, that may be what we're called to do. In verse 3 of Romans 12, it says, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. It talks about humility. We need each other. Let's not get too carried away with my gifting of how important I am. But bring what I have been entrusted with. Bring what we've been entrusted with. Don't get so caught up with your ministry, with our gifting, that we miss what needs to be done. And it's interesting that there are 7 things listed there in verses 6 to 8 as gifts. as ministries that we can bring to the church. And several of those things are also listed as things that we should be doing anyway. There's other places through the Bible we're told to be an encouragement. We're told to serve others. We're told to have mercy. But we see that some people are especially encouraged, especially gifted in these things. But what we can take from that is it says, get involved in these things and see where it takes you. Get involved in what's going on. And we see through the Bible, you know, Barnabas, who has had that wonderful ministry of his own right, but particularly the impact he had on Paul meant that he impacted the church right down through the ages. He was called the son of encouragement. And I see that amongst, you know, he's got an apostolic gift and he's got other gifts, but his primary gift is one of encouragement. Just encouraging. We can start doing that and see where it takes us. In Corinth, we see that Paul works as a tent maker. That's his trade. But he doesn't go in there and thinking, well, all I've got to do is just preach the gospel. Someone else take care of me. He says, I'm going to do whatever it takes. And if I have to work making tents, then that's what I'm going to do. And we see leading on from this passage, verse 9, goes and starts talking about love. Because 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us that the motivation for the gifts is love. And so these are the things you think, well, I don't know what to do. Well, there's ways that we can start to learn our gift. You know, that we can ask ourselves, you know, what do I like to do? What am I good at? What brings fruit? And these are, you know, there's many tests that we can take. But those are good things to start. I mean, I like to sing, but we'll leave it there as far as that goes. So we need to look at all of those things. But there are other ways, but one way to find out what it is we're gifted in is to serve people. Come with this attitude, what can I do to serve the church? What can I do to serve people? And the last thing I see there is that we need to get involved. We need to do something. And we see Stephen and Philip did what was there. They did what was there at the time. It wasn't beneath them, and who knows what that led them into. Who knows what they learnt there. We need to look for ways to serve, to encourage, to give, to show mercy. Things that which are mentioned there in Romans 12. And we actually grow in our gifting by doing these things. But if we're not actually doing anything, we don't get the chance to grow. And if we're not actually doing anything, then no one will see. As Jesus said, if you just do what's put before you, do the little things. And even if no one else sees, well, God does. God notices. God finds that out. God can also use our natural talents. We can serve with them. And, you know, it's when Joshua was in year one, he started playing sport, started playing soccer because AFL was on, Auskick was on Sunday, and there was no rugby league in Deniliquin, in case all the rugby league people get, why didn't you play that? But from the second year he played, so he played from year one through to year six, soccer. And so for five of those years I was involved with the team, either helping to coach or helping to referee. There was one year, I think it was the second last year we were involved in it. There were four boys in Joshua's soccer team who had fathers who played or had played for the Denny Wanderers Soccer Club. And I'm coaching the side. And sometimes I'm trying to coach them against what their own fathers are telling them. And there was a resource there. These kids would have benefited so much by these fathers who played helping them. But here I am, just me, who's just involved because I love it. And you know, the church is often in that position where there are people who have gifts, there are people who could bring something, but they're not doing it, and it's just, but there are people who are just doing it just because it needs doing. And in some ways the church is missing out because of that. We can all do that. You know, it's my own self. I like being involved. You know, I grew up going to a small school. We'd have small sports carnivals and swimming carnivals against the other small schools. Everybody got to go in everything, every race. I get to Yanko, and there's four houses, and only three people in each age group from each house get to compete. I know that I look athletic and sporting, but I was not one of the three picked. Do you know how boring it is to sit there for a day and a half watching everyone else compete? Some kids do it all the time now, but I found it extremely boring. I didn't care that I was never going to win. I just wanted to be involved. And that's the heart that I'm speaking to you from this morning. I just like being involved. I like doing stuff. I like helping out wherever I can. And that's the thing that I want to, you know, I would love to encourage you with. And so you can see where I'm coming from in this. It's part of who I am. But I want to encourage you this morning. Let's all of us, we can get involved. And it's interesting that, and I shared not too long ago on verses 1 and 2 from this chapter about being transformed, about not conforming to the world. But it's interesting that the first thing that Paul talks about is using our gifts in the body. And then he goes on to other ways in which we relate to each other, but using our gifts is so important. And just for me, a few years ago, I had a fair idea of what I thought my gifts were. Now, I really don't know. But it doesn't stop me from doing something, whatever's available. And hopefully through that I might actually find what it is I'm meant to do for the Lord. I just want to leave those thoughts with you today. You are an important part of the body of Christ. God has individually and uniquely equipped you to serve His church. You have been given a gift to minister, not to hold on to, not for your benefit, but to minister. And my encouragement to you this morning is get involved in whatever way you can. And it's interesting, as I'm saying here, I know that I'm part of a church where there's a lot of people who serve wonderfully in so many ways. But also know from the things that I'm involved in and from talking to leaders of other ministry areas, there are so many more things. There are so many opportunities for us to get involved in if we're looking for something. So I encourage us, get involved. And I do have other stories, but I've run out of time, about ways which we can get involved and about ways people have got involved, and out of that has grown their ministry. And look for ways to serve. Whatever way, you know, how can I serve? It's not just about whether this is going to help me, but how can I serve the body? How can I serve individuals? How can I serve the church? How can I help the church to do what it's called to do? And sometimes that's even doing the menial things so that people like Trevor and Jeremy are released to do the things that they're called to do. But if we do that, we're still being a very valuable part of the body. I just want to finish with one more story. Rachel's just finished year 12. When she first went to Narendra High School, they were placed in the houses. She came home and said, "I'm in Berenbet House." We said, "What colour is that?" She said, "Blue." I said, "Go back and tell them you want to change. We've always been in red." But then I found out that the way the houses are worked out at Narendra High is they're put in alphabetical order. Actually, sorry, I tell a lie. All the best athletes go in Yorali, and then all the rest are put in alphabetical order. So, that's right, we can get behind that. Berenbet was a bit of a basket case. It still is a bit in the athletic. They hadn't won a carnival of any sort for ages. Rachel's desire has been to help Berenbet win the swimming carnival. Last year, they were that close. Actually, they won the swimming carnival part of it, but there are other points given for other things, which Yorali got enough of to get ahead. as house captain. Then she's again this year, she's house captain. This year, Berenbed wins us from In Carnival. And this is my proud dad moment for this morning. I was there watching, and we were so proud, we were so happy for her, because this has been her goal for 6 years, almost more so than getting good marks, almost. But one thing was so proud was Rachel and Sid, Rachel and Sid, the house captains, along with Mr. Crowick, was the participation rate of the Berenbed kids. Uroli had a lot of good swimmers, but they also had a lot of good swimmers who didn't bother competing. Berenbed had a fantastic participation rate, and it was those extra points they got from the participation which were able to get them in front. And if I say one thing to you this morning, that's what it is. It's that participation rate can make a difference. You know, we can't do everything. We're not equipped to do everything. There's other reasons. There's other things that come up and stop us sometimes from doing all the things we like to do. But if we do what we can, and each of us does what we can, we will discover our gifts. We will find where we're meant to be. But we will, more than that, we'll help the church. And we will help other people in the church. Help the church to become all that she can be. This local church, the church, universal. And we will help other people become what they can be. So, Lord, I just want to thank you this morning that each one of us is precious in your sight. Lord, you didn't leave any of us out. Lord, I want to pray for each of us, Lord, that you would help us to find what we are meant to do, that we're called to do. And help us, Lord, I just thank you that you do equip us to do that. Lord, help us to see through your eyes, and Lord, that we would serve, that we would minister with love, that we would serve. We would serve with humility. Lord, we would do what's needed, that we would bless people, that we would help them to grow. And Lord, as we do that, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that your church grow, that your church perform its ministry to this town and beyond. Lord, that we would see people come to know you, and we would see churches planted. Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, this is not because of us. This is because of your grace. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.